Welcome back to Through the Word. Peyton Jones here, and we'll be in Psalm chapter 25 today. We've all had feelings of powerlessness when someone smarter, stronger, or just older had complete control over us. Unable to say or do anything to change the outcome, we simply did what the bully asked. I can remember being forced to eat clods of dirt by a bully, unable to stop them, and having to pick myself up, feeling the burning shame as the blood rushed to my face, as a crowd of kids, half of them laughing and mocking, the other half in shock, the shame lingering long after the noogie burn is gone. In Psalm 25, David is under brutal attack from his enemies, powerless to change his circumstances, unable to stop their bad behavior, unable to control the outcome. But what do you do when you're powerless against your enemies? David places his trust in God in verse 1. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. In Psalm 25, David won't trust people to have better behavior, or even in himself to handle bullies in the right way. He's through trusting anyone but God. Verse 2. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. What a statement. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. It's not that David won't be forced to eat dirt clods by his enemies. He may. But that's not what brings shame. The real shame comes when we act wrongly in the face of being mistreated. David knows that if his hope is in God, he will continue to act right even when others act wrong. People may try to put shame on him, but they can't put shame in him as long as he continues to trust God and act right. But acting right isn't easy. That's why David prays for help in verse 4. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Your paths, your ways, your truth. David is in uncharted territory here. Like most of us when dealing with people problems. People problems, by the way, are largely judgment calls, and it's easy to make bad ones. David lacks a map or a compass, but he knows there's a trail just beneath the brush. If only he could find it. Guide me, Lord. Clear the undergrowth that I can see the path, the way I should act. Your ways, your paths. David knows if he puts his hope in God, my hope is in you all day long, then he can't go far wrong. David knows God will navigate him and guide him to safety. But then David makes a special request in verse 6. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good. Twice in these verses, David talks about remembering. In verse 6, he wants God to remember his great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Constant companions to David all of his life, he can look back and remember mercy and love always being there. And he needed it, because like us, he was a screw-up at times. Therefore, he asked God not to remember the sins of his youth. We call this, by the way, selective memory. And the Bible gives us good reason to trust in the selective memory of God. God, we are told, willfully forgets our sins, telling us that he cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them again. But God always remembers his love and mercy. And note the humility here. David starts off this psalm not wanting to be humiliated, but he can be humble And David is humble. He knows that he himself is not always good, but God is. What a precious phrase in verse 7. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good. David focuses on God's goodness in verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it's great. Wow, there is a lot to unpack here, but the theme of these verses is that because of God's goodness, he does all of the things that David prayed for in the verses previous. He instructs sinners in his ways. He teaches humble sinners. He guides and navigates them and teaches them his paths. But maybe verse 10 threw you a bit when it says, God is loving and faithful to all who keep his covenant. But wait, I thought we couldn't keep his covenant. True, but don't forget, God never asked his people to be perfect. He asked them to follow him and trust him. And part of that covenant, including making sacrifices for their own sin when they didn't. Forgiveness was baked into the covenant. You see, the greater threat than David being put to shame by his enemies was being shamed by his own sin. For the sake of your name, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. God can forget our sin because he's forgiven it. Our sin has been dealt with by God. Let's skip ahead to verse 14, where David gives us the secret to hearing from God and receiving the guidance we need in tough times. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. The Lord confides in those who fear him. David feels like God is sharing a secret, like you would with a close friend. David's eyes are on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Now we see David stuck, trapped, yet hopeful. Like an animal unable to free itself, David waits for God to stoop down and release him from the snare his enemies have set. But more than stuck and trapped, he's lonely. Verse 16. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. He's had God's love and mercy to comfort him in his circumstance. And even though David knows God's love and mercy will comfort him in his lonely circumstance, he now asks God to change his circumstance in verse 17. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress, and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies, and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. David, like us, can only take so much. You can feel his anguish here. He's suffering in this trap. He's in agony. He uses words anguish, distress, and troubles of my heart. Again, he doesn't expect the behavior of his enemies to change anytime soon. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. No, David's hope isn't in them. It has to be in God. But he wants protection from his enemies. Guard my life, he says. He wants deliverance from his circumstances. Rescue me. He wants to avoid humiliation. Do not let me be put to shame. And David's only hope for all this is God, for I take refuge in you. My friend, where do you take refuge? A refuge is a type of escape, a place you go to escape something else. Some escape their pain, trying to find refuge in a bottle. Others turn to equally flawed humans. But where do you turn? Have you learned to take refuge in God and God alone? Turn to Him today. Put your hope in God and find Him as the one who will do everything that God has asked in this prayer. Until next time, thanks for joining me on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word.